most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And it's that time when we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to say hello to our good friend Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hope you're doing well, John.
Yes, sir. I finally got the rain to go away, and it's turned into an unbelievable last week of October-type day. Still hard to believe that we've got 2 days left in the month, and then it's time to move on to November. But we've got an open date for the University of Tennessee. Volunteers trying to just simply focus on what can be fixed for the orange and white after a third straight loss. How vital do you think making the most of this week is to Tennessee heading into the second half of its schedule?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, I think this is a very important open date for the standpoint of where are you with some young players. Obviously, we know that it was not a normal preseason. So how much time can you make up in three practices this week where you focus only on yourself and not on the scheme of somebody else? So I think it's important. Do I think there's a fix in the quarterback necessarily? No, I don't think that's the case. But, you know, where are they with Bryson Eason and Morvan Joseph as they look for pass rush guys, and the continued growth of Tyler Barron? Where are they with Tamarion McDonald at the safety position? Can he really push to help here after missing all the time that he missed? And then obviously we've talked about those young receivers and how important that is. And that's not even talking about guys getting healthy. You know, I mean, look, there's a reason Jerome Carbon was one of Tennessee's best five to start the year. They've missed him. He should be healthy going back or coming back. So should Wanya Morris and Jameer Johnson with some depth at the tackle position. So I think the open date comes at a good time for Tennessee. And you hope and believe that they can use it and have used it to their benefit to improve this week.
If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Brent, if in looking at where Tennessee perhaps has fallen short of projections and expectations, what area that has yet to perform to perhaps what was expected, what area do you think might be most fixable before Tennessee heads to Arkansas next Saturday?
Well, that's a great question, John. I mean, I think that, you know, they can clean up some things in the secondary and need to clean up some things in the secondary. That's an area on the field where I thought they would play better. I knew they would miss Nigel Warrior at the safety spot. I didn't think they would miss him as bad as they have. Now, you know, Jalen McCullough was, you know, in COVID protocol stuff at the end of the preseason and missed a good bit of time there. He's not played the way I thought he would play. Flowers has made a bunch, you know, a good number of tackles, but I don't think he's played the ball particularly well. I think there's some things when you look at that secondary they can clean up if they just catch the football. I mean, Mac Jones tried to throw it to him three times in the first half on Saturday, and they just misplayed the ball. Their ball skills weren't where they need to be. So I think they can clean some things up, John, in the secondary, and they have to. If they don't clean up the middle of the football field better than it is right now, then it's going to be a tough back half of the season for Tennessee defensively, as it's been the first half.
Brent, as far as the secondary, you were touching on this. I want to ask you in regard to that was one of the positions hit hardest by COVID, and that's been mentioned multiple times by Jeremy Pruitt. Do you think that is the primary reason, or do you think it's kind of related to perhaps the defense being a little bit too complex, and that's why they're having communication issues?
You know, probably a little bit of a combination of both. Look, if you're too complex, simplify it. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you do what you can do is the bottom line there. Not what you want to do, what you're capable of doing. So maybe it's, you know, maybe in the first game you tried to do too much, but by week five, you know, I don't know, I don't know why you would still be having some of those same communication issues there. I just think, you know, I think some guys got to play with more confidence. And again, I think there's been some opportunities to make plays. They've just, of all the groups on defense, they've probably played the least clean of anybody back there. You look at the balls that they've dropped, Jimmy. McCullough had a pass interference penalty at Georgia that he absolutely did not need to have. You know, ball wasn't even going to be caught, and he gets a penalty going over the top of somebody. I mean, they've just got to play with a little more savvy back there, you know, in my opinion. So we'll see. I mean, I think that I put them as a group that's fixable because I think there's talent in that room, and there's talent at that position, and there's some experience there. So I think they should play better, be playing better than what they're playing right now. I know some of the guys have been banged up a little bit. They've had some COVID stuff, but you know, Sean Schamberger's come off a 2-game, you know, he didn't play the first 2 games of the season. He's not played very well in the 3 games he's been on the field. He's a senior who's played a lot of football. He's got to up his game. And so that's why I think that group's got some fixability to it, Jimmy, because it's not like you're playing 3 or 4 freshmen back there, 2 freshmen back there who are trying to learn on the job as they go.
Let's go to the phones where we get to say hello to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, I'm kind of embarrassed to do this, but I think I've heard Brent and people talk about the team, and I think I've got a pretty good idea what's going on with the players.
Okay.
But I have to ask you a recruiting question. Do you think we will take as many as 2 more commitments or more if we can get those people to commit to us?
Oh, I think they would take more. I mean, I think they would take the best available, and if you're trading up a little bit or you're swapping some things around, then I think that's certainly what you end up doing. I don't think Tennessee is going to turn away a guy that they believe can help them and is an upgrade to what they have, or you know, whatever the case may be. So I don't think they're going to turn anybody away at this point to say, I shouldn't say that. There's some guys that have a spot, Steve, if they want to come, and Tennessee right. will make that work. I mean, if a pass rusher who you think could be an impact player says he wants to be a part of this class, he got a spot. If a corner right. says he wants to be a part of this class and you think he is a difference maker type corner, he's got a spot. Now, the question is, how do you handle the transfer stuff in the spring if you got some, you know, some transfers want to come right. in? So that's where your numbers might get a little interesting.
Yeah. I didn't mean the question. My question really was meant to be, are we going to be able to get any more commitments? I mean, a few more. Are we going to be able to?
I think it depends on how you play down the stretch. I mean, I think if you show growth and you show that your things are going in the right direction, then it makes it easier.
Right.
If you go out and you lose to Arkansas and then you lose to Texas A&M and suddenly you're in a 5-6 game tailspin, then it's more about holding on to what you have than it is necessarily about gaining more guys. So
I
think that's why Tennessee's got to come out and play well next week.
Right. Well, okay. Well, okay, guys. Y'all hang in there. And
you as well.
And we'll have a tremendous Brent son will be a huge bonus for his high school team next season. So won't you know everything will be okay, Brent.
I'm good, Steve. I think I'm in better shape than you are right now, bud.
Okay.
I think I'm feeling a little better about things than you are, my friend. Hang in there, buddy.
Steve, we appreciate it. Do you have a question or comment for Brent? 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. More with Brent Hubbs coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
If you smell something, that's probably us. We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. It's Alan who's up next. Hello, Alan.
Hey, guys. Brent, I've got a few questions for you, and I just wanted to give them to you all at once or one at a time?
It don't matter. Go ahead.
Whatever okay, you feel the like first doing. One. The first one is, I've heard a rumor that Ty Simpson, the quarterback from up in Martin, that even though he is a junior, that there is some way that he may be able to graduate early and be in this coming class. Is that just a rumor, or have you heard anything about that?
Academically, he's a very smart student, and he could graduate. He's on track to graduate next December. If he pushed it and did some things that, you know, in the classroom, he could graduate technically in May and reclassify if he wanted to. You see that in basketball a lot. You don't see that very often in football, but that rumor's been out there. I don't know that Ty has, or his dad, who's the head coach at Martin, who's been very obviously important in his development as a player. I don't know if that's something they have any interest in doing or not have any interest in doing at this point, but is it possible? Yeah, I mean, he academically, he's far enough along that could certainly happen if he wanted to. I just don't know that he has any interest in doing that right now.
And he would be one of those guys you were talking about that's a difference maker that you would find a place for, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whatever class he wanted to be in, he's got a spot, without question.
Okay. Am I correct that the four-star JUCO running back from, I think he's west of us, maybe in Kansas, did he not decommit from us about a month ago, but yet said we were still in the mix, but he was backing off his commitment? Is that right or wrong?
No, that's correct. He did publicly decommit from Tennessee, which surprised everybody, including Tennessee. But he has continued to have plenty of dialogue with Tennessee and continues to have discussions with Jay Graham and the Tennessee coaching staff, and Tennessee still very much is in the hunt for him. The question is going to be, can he get out at midterm and be here in January? I think that's still a little bit up in the air right now if he decides to recommit to Tennessee. Part of the issue that you have with guys who decommit right now is, where are they going to take a visit to? Who are they going to go see? What coach? I mean, coach can't come see them. They can't go visit a coach on campus. So that's a little bit of a challenge that way. And I don't know how many people have, you know, I'm sure his phone has rang some. South Carolina and some other schools have called, but probably not like it normally would be if you could go take visits everywhere. So we'll see. He could, like I said, he continues to have conversations with Tennessee, and Tennessee's not out of it. They could certainly get him back in the fold and get that signature.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. Okay, the defensive lineman from upstate South Carolina, that's a high school senior. I can't think of his name. Is it Ingram?
Tyrion Ingram's Dawkins.
Okay. Are we close to an announcement on him?
Supposed to go tomorrow. Supposed to announce tomorrow. The feeling on that one is most likely Georgia.
So Georgia got in there late. I thought it was between us and South Carolina, but I guess I'm wrong.
He's liked everybody. At one point, he was heading to LSU, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. He almost publicly committed to Tennessee back in the spring, and then Georgia got in there and kind of silenced that and got him to not do that. And then Georgia has continued to recruit him. And, of course, right now Tennessee doesn't have a defensive line coach, which is probably not a great help for a guy getting ready to make a decision. But I think Georgia's been trending there with him probably for the last, I don't know, month, 6 weeks, something like that.
Okay. And, Brett, has any decision been made by this year not counting toward eligibility? I know they said that, but they also no decision was made on how this is going to work against the 85 rules. Anything come down on that?
No. Not that I've seen. Jimmy, you may have seen something on that, but I've not seen any adjustment or any talk of adjustment right now to the 85.
No, and as of Monday was the last time that I had information about it, they had still not made a decision in regard to that. You would think they'd want to make some decision relatively soon, but...
Oh, come on, it's so far down the road. They don't have to worry about this for,
excuse
for a while.
Me.
That's what they're saying.
We all know the expediency of the NCAA. They work at time warp speed.
Of course. Oh, my goodness.
I tell you what, guys, I really appreciate y'all, and y'all got the best sports talk show on the radio. Thanks a lot.
We sure do appreciate it, Alan. Thank you very much. You have a great week, rest of your week. Let's go next to Jason. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jason.
How y'all doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I got kind of a question comment. I'm not sure. So we all can agree that Garantano has been kind of up and down through his career at UT. Can we all agree to that?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So, awesome. How, like, I understand Harrison Bailey not being ready to play, but how is the coaching staff, do they not, in the off season prior to this COVID, not look at each other and go, or talk about how kind of wonky or up and down the kid plays? And how do we not have a second string quarterback ready to go in? I just can't put my finger on how you have all these, he's the number 10 quarterback in the country, or he's the number 2 quarterback in the country. And then they put him in and they just look like they're lost. I mean, I can't fathom how that works over there. How we don't have a QB2 ready to go in.
You saw their quarterbacks play last year, so you know who their QB2 and 3, and you don't know who Harrison Bailey is, but you know what their other options are to work with. So, I mean, they had Brian Maurer ready to play last year. He played. Okay, JT Schrout got a start last year, so he played. So, obviously they didn't have spring practice. Here's where I take exception with the coaching staff's decision. I would have played, particularly in a season that we're dealing with COVID, when you don't know when somebody's going to be a part of contact tracing, you don't know if somebody's going to have the virus or whatever the case may be, I would have played a number 2 quarterback late in the Missouri game. I would have played a number 2 quarterback late in the Georgia game when that game was over. Just to get guys some reps and get guys ready. Now, Brian Maurer did not go through fall camp, essentially. Okay, that's why JT Schrout was the number 2 quarterback, which he was heading. Jerry Garantano was clearly head and shoulders above Schrout in the preseason, and Bailey, obviously, that's been talked about a bunch about how he didn't go through the preseason, he didn't have spring practice as a high school freshman, and I think you said you understood he was not ready to play. So, I mean, you know what Maurer is. You saw Maurer last year. So, it's not like there's 2 or 3 new guys. Now, you could say, why didn't they get a grad transfer? Okay, I think they tried to kick the tires with a couple guys out there, but didn't get any traction with anybody that way.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying. My point is, it feels like these quarterbacks have been – it feels like Garantano has been – and I'm not going to talk about a kid. I may say it in my own house. He's not playing well, but I'm not going to get on here and bash him. But when he's not playing well, I don't understand why we don't have somebody can go in and step in that role. And you explained it. I got it. And my second question or point is, we can at UT, I don't understand it either, why we can't get the best athletes on the field at the same time. Now, granted, you can't have 3 or 4 running backs on the field at the same time, but you can have 2. And I know that's not the offense that they run, but to me, why are we not adjusting to the players that we have? Because we just look – I mean, I'm a Tennessee guy, dude. I bleed orange. And I hate talking about this in a negative content, but we look weak and terrible on offense. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't even claim to be a college football guru, but just the naked eye watching UT play, they looked awful the past couple games. I mean, can we not agree?
The team they played Saturday in Alabama,
and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If those two teams played 20 times, I'm taking Alabama to win all 20. That's Absolutely. Where the rosters are right now. That's where the program is right now. The Kentucky game, that's all about quarterback play. Okay? I mean, that's all about quarterback play. After the second pick six, they made a quarterback change. And JT, now I would have played Brian Maurer, I think, at that point, but they elected to go with Shrout for three plays, and then they come back with Garantano. That's something you can debate, and I agree with you that, you know, they lost that game because of quarterback play. When you give up 75 yards in the first half defensively, you shouldn't be down 10 points. But they were because of quarterback play. They should have won the Kentucky game. I don't think Kentucky's better than Tennessee from a talent standpoint and an ability standpoint. I'm not dogging on Kentucky. I just don't think Kentucky's 37-7 better than Tennessee is. Alabama, that game went about the way I expected it to go.
Yes, and my last point, I'll get off here and let somebody else call in. But I feel like the Georgia game, I don't know if we had won that game. I don't know. But the way that he come out in the second half, he fumbled, he threw an interception, and then he fumbled, which didn't result in a turnover, but it resulted into a fourth and real long, and they had a punt from the, 10-yard line, and he stayed in the game. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's two games. Now, granted, we may not have won that Georgia game, but you can't go out against a top-five opponent, SEC opponent, and have three consecutive fumble, interception, fumble for a big loss, punt from your end zone. I mean, and we stay with the guy. Like, I just don't – again, I'm not going to knock the kid, whatever. But it falls – to me, it falls on coaching how we don't – how they don't sit in the room and go, hey, Garantano's our man, but he loses his head. He loses his head, and we got to have somebody ready. We got to have somebody ready to put in at any moment when Garantano is playing with that wonky head of his sometimes. Hey, guys, listen, I appreciate everything you do. And go Vols in a couple weeks. And y'all have a safe Halloween.
All right, you do the same. We sure do appreciate it, Jason. We'll get a break. We've got more with Brent Hubbs coming up. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio in English online at sunandscreen.com. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's talk to Jared. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jared.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good. So I was reading something today. I was on Facebook, and I was reading something about the Knoxville News Sentinel had wrote about possibly, you know, Pruitt demoting Jim Chaney to maybe not calling the plays and giving the duty to T. Martin. So I didn't know if you guys knew what type of offense that he ran at USC. I mean, I really don't think that would be possible. I mean, they kind of, whenever he hired in Jim Chaney, you know, he kind of gave him, you know, the keys to the car and, you know, just told him to, I'm assuming, just make us look stupid, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to that in terms of demoting Jim Chaney. I've not heard anything like that. I mean, I think T would be probably pretty similar if you go look at what USC did, and T called plays there, but he was a co-offensive coordinator, and Coach Helton had a say in things. They were a play-action pass, vertical passing game, you know, type offense is basically the offense he's been a part of when he was at Southern Cal, right, Jimmy?
Yes. And I, in fact, there's some discussion about when T was calling plays. Was it on third down only or whatever? I don't know. But I'm like you, Brent. I would be very surprised. I don't think there's anything to Jim Chaney being demoted and T. Martin taking over as a play call. I think Jim Chaney's a really good play caller. I do think that he feels a little bit hamstrung because I don't think he trusts his quarterback all the time. And I think that's one reason you're seeing some of the concerns about the offensive production.
Anything else, Jared?
That's it. I just appreciate you guys taking my call, and you have a good night.
You as well. We sure do appreciate it, Jared. 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, we heard Coach Pruitt talk about the 23 missed tackles for 97 yards against Alabama, and I thought some of those were in the secondary. But I do wonder if you think some of the tackling issues can revert back to COVID, where maybe you didn't hit or tackle as much in practice. I know earlier in the year, I guess Navy had a horrendous day because they didn't hit at all. But do you think there's any tie-in to that situation?
You know, Jimmy, I think that's a great question. The hard part for me for saying, yeah, that's a big part of it, I'm sure there's some effect there. They weren't a bad tackling team to open the season against South Carolina. I didn't think they were a poor tackling team against Missouri. I don't think they tackled in the secondary particularly well all year long, and maybe right. That's the COVID influence, because so many guys missed time with things in the preseason. But I didn't think they were a bad tackling team in the first half against Kentucky. I thought they were atrocious in the second half, because physically I thought they got whipped against Kentucky, and I thought they were really bad on Saturday because I thought Alabama just played more physical than they did. I thought they ran through Tennessee tacklers. I thought there were times Tennessee was there to make a play, but didn't physically finish the play the way that they needed to. So maybe in the secondary there's a COVID factor there. I'm not sure there's that much of a factor in the front seven, particularly on the defensive line, where they didn't have a ton of COVID issues in the preseason.
Yeah, and I was directing that more at the secondary. I probably wasn't clear with that. Keyshawn Lawrence. We've heard Jeremy Pruitt talk about how they want him at cornerback, then at safety, back to cornerback, now looking up at the star position. Do you think we will see more of him in the second half of the season?
I would hope so. And I mean, I would, you know, unless they suddenly get some production at the star position that they haven't gotten so far. I mean, I'm curious to see what he looks like at that position. Now, that's not the easiest position to learn. Can they get him ready? I think that's the question we're all wondering about the freshmen right now, because we haven't seen a ton of them. We've seen more on defense than we've seen on offense to this point in terms of making an impact. But I just don't think they're getting a whole lot of production, Jimmy, out of that star position. Last year, I think Schamberger had 4.5 tackles for loss and 2 or 3 sacks and half dozen pass breakups. And he's just not been – I just don't think he's played very well and the 3 games he's been back at this point. And I don't know that Slaughter's not necessarily ready. And so why would you think Keyshawn Lawrence gets ready in a short period of time? But maybe he does. So, you know, we'll see. I think you'll see Lawrence more on special teams. I think you'll see him play more on defense. I don't know if it'll be the star or the corner position, but I think you may see him some more the back half of the season, because I think that's an athlete that they've been really high on since the day he got here, and they felt like he was a guy who would make an early contribution for them. But, again, COVID kind of messed that up, I think, in the preseason.
I know you'll know the answer to this. Do you anticipate Tennessee playing Ty Chandler and Eric Gray in the backfield a lot in the second half of the season?
No, I don't know if they'll play them in the backfield together. I think they might play them on the field together, meaning one lines up in the slot. Eric Gray might line up there. But I don't think Tennessee's going to go to split backs and line them up that way. And I don't know that you'll see a whole lot of that. I think some people, and you were at the quarterback club.
Yeah.
Chaney's comment I took, Jimmy, to mean that if you didn't see one of the two of those guys on the field, then somebody come check on him, meaning they were his two best offensive running backs, his best backfield guys, and one of them was going to be on the field all the time. I didn't take that quote to mean that they were going to, you know, that he had a plan to play them both a bunch of snaps together at the same time. I may have misinterpreted that because I read that quote. I didn't see it or hear it, you know, the way you did at the quarterback club. So I didn't take the quote to mean that, boy, they ought to look out for a lot of Ty Chandler and Eric Gray on the backfield at the same time together. You may have read it differently.
I did. I actually thought he meant they were going to play him at the same time. Not necessarily, as you were talking about, in the backfield. One could be in the slot. One could be at running back. I did take it that way, but I'll say this. Maybe that's not the way he meant it.
Yeah, I don't know that. I will say this, though, Jimmy. If I were Jim Chaney and I were having some struggles at the receiver position outside of Palmer and Hyatt, and I think they are. I think Brandon Johnson's had some moments of some pretty good play. I don't think Ramel Keaton's played very well. I think Cedric Tillman has a hard time getting open. I would look at Eric Gray in the slot because I think he's been an effective weapon as a pass receiver. I think you could certainly look at him in the slot, and that might be your third best receiving option with Chandler in the backfield. So if they put him out there, I would be like, all right, that's probably a smart move. But I just wasn't sure exactly what Chaney was meaning. But you were there, so you heard it directly. I didn't.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. We've got one more segment with Brent. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Sports Talk today is on location here in Hardin Valley at Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. It's a part of our coverage of Rivalry Thursday, which tonight is Alcoa at Dobbins Bennett. Matlock Tire Service and OEB Law make our part of Rivalry Thursday possible. A final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk is next on 99.1, the sports animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk, a final segment with Brent Hubbs. Let's get one more call. It's from Fred who joins us. Hello, Fred.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I've been a Tennessee fan off and on since 1970. I didn't go to UT, but my sister did, so I pull for them. And I hear the phone calls, and I know the frustration the fans are going through, but I think we need to have some more patience. You know, everybody's attacking Garantano. You're attacking Chaney. I think really, I think this next 2 weeks are going to be critical to Tennessee's season, and I'm not telling anybody anything new. I think Jeremy Pruitt is a sound football coach. My kids went to Clemson, and I didn't think Dabo Sweeney was going to turn out. But you see how wrong I was there. The first 3 years, 4 years, he wasn't setting the world on fire. I think Tennessee fans, they have patience. I think Pruitt's is a sound fundamental coach. I don't know what his high end is, his ceiling is as far as wins. To me, he's a 10-2 coach. Maybe, you know what I mean? But we'll see. And I think in the next 2 weeks, I think if they can turn around some of these fundamentals, learn to play with the players you have. You know, we criticize Garantano, but I look at Georgia and Thurston Howell III or whatever the quarterback's name is there. But he's a game manager. He doesn't set the world on fire. But one thing he does have, he has a solid fundamental team around him that protects him better than what I've seen Garantano have. The first two games, they started out great, you know, and then the first half of Georgia, I kind of saw a chink in the armor there. It was, yeah, we scored, a couple touchdowns and looked pretty good, but they weren't, drive down the field, grind it out and score. I just wanted to see what you guys felt like as far as having some more patience with the coach. I know we all want to win, but we also have to take the victories when we can.
What do you think, Brent?
Well, I mean, don't call a Georgia or don't listen to a Georgia talk show because they're ready for Thurston Howell III to go to the bench. They're over him because he didn't beat Alabama, so they're ready. They're ready to bring the next one in there. Well, listen, I think we live in a world that nobody has any patience, but at the same time, too, I think if you ask most Tennessee fans, I think they probably feel like they've been beyond patient with Jerry Garantano. You know, this is not a first or second year quarterback who's going through first or second year quarterback issues. This is a guy who's a veteran who shouldn't be throwing pick sixes on out patterns and staring down a linebacker in the middle of the field. So you know, and the other part of the patience deal is Tennessee fans have been patient since they let Philip Fulmer go. And that's not fair to Jeremy Pruitt necessarily, but that's the world it is, and that's the what they inherited. Tennessee's been, you know, waiting a long time to get back, and I understand the frustrations that they have. And again, I'm not advocating that they fire anybody because I don't think they should, but I do understand the frustrations that Tennessee fans have, and I don't think those frustrations are just over five games, Jimmy. I think those frustrations are over a long period of time for a variety of reasons.
I agree. I mean, if you go back to Philip Fulmer's second-to-last season, 2007, Tennessee's had 2 9-win seasons. That's it. And, yes, that has been a long buildup of frustration of Tennessee not being able to win an SEC division title, much less the East Division, much less an SEC championship. And, by the way, the caller didn't give Dabo Swinney enough credit. His first full year as Clemson's coach, they won their division. The third year, they won their division. And so that's two division titles in his first 3 years. And then in year three going on, he's won at least 10 games every year since. That probably wasn't a real good example about being patient with a coach. But, Brent, I agree with your point. I think this is a long built-up frustration from the Tennessee fan base.
Well, and you throw in the fact, you know, it's 14 in a row against Alabama, John. You haven't been competitive. I think Tennessee's got an easier path back if they were playing in the Coastal Division of the ACC where Clemson's at.
Right.
I'm not taking anything away from Clemson, but it's an easier path in the ACC than it is in the SEC East with Alabama as your every year SEC West rival. And so it's a tough road back, and I just think there's a lot of frustration built up for a long period of time.
That is for sure. Brent, what's going on these days at VolQuest.com?
Well, we got a little baseball coverage up this afternoon. We've got some football stuff up from today, continued recruiting coverage. We have the War Room tomorrow. Our mailbag podcast is up right now. We'll have recruiting coverage throughout the weekend as well, and then dive right back into it on Monday and get you ready for Tennessee and Arkansas as Tennessee goes back to work Sunday afternoon after a weekend off.
And who do the Eagles finish with? It's Central, right?
Yeah, big one. The crazy region that we're in, a lot of things, a lot of moving and shaking parts this weekend, this Friday night, a lot of key games. Obviously, this is a big one. Central's going to play for a region title. And Gibbs got a win to get in, and should be a pretty hotly contested battle. Central seems to be finding themselves here down the stretch, as they typically seem to do. But the Eagles played pretty well last Friday night at Carter. So should be a good one tomorrow night in Fountain City. Looking forward to it.
Huge win over the Hornets. Congratulations on that. Good luck tomorrow to Eli and the Eagles.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Sure do appreciate that. That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. We've got hour number four of Sports Talk. We have, of course, Hamer time. Steve Hamer will join us for his normal time slot around 6:35. And up next, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Today, Sports Talk, a part of Rivalry Thursday, brought to you by OEB Law. We're here at Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair in Hardin Valley on 99.1, The Sports Animal.